Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places and Jesus, our Messiah, the name of this broadcast. Turn down my monitors here. The name of this broadcast is Across the Border, and today is our once-a-week live edition of Prophecy Reality. So if you're listening live on Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific time or noon on the other coast, come on over to the chat room at First Amendment Radio and join us there. You can join the conversation. You can call in. You can ask questions and see any. We actually have the studio cam on, so you can see my face and any exhibits I might put on the screen. If you're listening otherwise, well, just keep listening. We're glad to have you. Let's see. What do we got today? Oh, I didn't, my scripture verse for today. Let's see. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily, that is privately, for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole, as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. They lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy for gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. That's Proverbs 1:10-19. Read all about it. Okay, what do we got going on today? Well, I guess we're going to look at some news items in the news, have some conversation. Your calls, the call-in number is 559-797-8537. I think I got that right. Yeah, 559-797-8537. I got it right from saying it so many times. But very few people call in, but maybe you'll call in today. But I don't take calls in the last 5 minutes. Don't like to do that, and I don't like it if people wait to the last 5 minutes and then I have to cut the program off in the middle of a call. No fun. So, anyway, give us a call. Anything you want to talk about in this first hour, we're up for it. Second hour, we're going to jump back into history unveiling prophecy and continue with part 15 of that. So if you've been following along, there's a playlist on my website. Just go there, look for it, and you'll find it. History Unveiling Prophecy. Another eye-opening historicist interpretation of prophecy. And the reason it's so eye-opening is because it finally makes the book of Revelation so it makes sense. And we are, I should probably announce this every broadcast, we are celebrating the 500th year of the Reformation, yes, the Protestant Reformation, 500 years ago this year on October 31st, an obscure monk posted his 95 thesis on the door of the church at Wittenberg and kicked off what we know today as the Protestant Reformation. Now, what also got kicked off shortly thereafter was a counter-reformation. And, you know, if I had to look around and see how it has played out, well, the counter-reformation is winning the day in the world because the Protestants are found nowhere. There are no more Protestants. Looks like the counter-reformation has been very effective in the world. I hate to say it, but we need an awakening. We need a A rejuvenation of that protesting thought that protests against Antichrist. Instead, people believe a lie, and there are very few Protestants to be found. And I'm proud to say, well, you know, I am a Protestant. I am protesting evil. I am protesting the great apostasy that Paul and the other prophets said would rise up in the church and dominate and even slaughter the saints. And, you know, this is all a fact of history. But the Counter-Reformation has been very effective, especially since the punishment of the horror of the great apostate church, beginning with the French Revolution. That was the time when she was punished. But she is back, and with a different tactic, well, pretty the same tactic, but hidden from view. Now her inquisitions and her murders are veiled from the world. They're veiled behind other news and other conflicts. She doesn't directly show her face and her direction to the world. But it's there. If you read the book of Revelation, and if you read all of the prophecies, beginning with the Old Testament to the New Testament prophecies, you know that before Christ returns, that the Antichrist is revived. That's right. It comes back and from a deadly wound, a wound as it were to death, and is revived and rules the world, depicted as a whore riding a scarlet-colored beast. And that is where we are at with the book of Revelation, and with the Roman Empire, in that phase where she is not recognized, was and is not, yet is. That's right. What a description. Yeah, what a mystery. What a riddle. But if all you have to do is believe God's word, and you'll know that Antichrist rules. Now, the Counter-Reformation teaches, through one of its Jesuit who began the whole end-time Antichrist scenario, teaches that you can't know who the Antichrist is. And that's what most of the visible church today believes. Okay, so Catholics, they don't care about Antichrist. They probably heard about it, watched the Left Behind movies, and figured that's all they need to know. But most of the evangelical world, we notice they pretty much extinguished Protestants. They're gone. Okay. James, who's in the chat room, he's still in the chat room. We were looking for a Protestant Bible college in America. I don't think we found one. One true protesting Bible college in America. And see, this is the work of the Jesuits. They control the curriculum, you know, that this is the Antichrist through her Jesuit army, controls all of the curriculum in the public schools, colleges, seminaries, Bible colleges, no matter what denomination they put in front of their name. You go to the Lutherans and they're as ecumenical as any evangelical, or those that are screaming out, we are ecumenical. And then you got funny things like this guy down there talking about Chrislam. You know, we're gonna marry Christianity and Islam together and call it Chrislam. And the Antichrist loves it all, because what Antichrist embraces everything except for one thing, and that is the thought that identifies her as the Antichrist. That's right. That apostate church with its head, the false prophet, also known as the Pope, or the Antichrist. That's what's gone. And most people believe the lie that the Antichrist, we can't know who he is. That's one of their sayings. You know, that's like America, the freest land on the planet, or whatever. The freest country on earth. See, these are mantras that people repeat over and over, and they believe them just because it's been repeated over and over so many times. Doesn't mean they're true, it just means people believe them. But the Antichrist, well, you can't know who he is. He's not going to be revealed until the restrainer, which they say is the Holy Spirit, is taken out of the way. Of course, all Christians are going to be taken out of the way at the same time, so it doesn't really matter. That's right. And that's where the visible Christian church and what used to be Protestant denominations stand today. Now they're all evangelicals, thinking they're going to save the world by converting people. Well, we brought so many souls. We had so many decisions for Christ by our ministry. And they put the number up. But the fact is, nobody is saved by their decision for Christ. It is totally the work that Christ performed on the cross that saves us, not our decision. We can't make a decision. You could make a decision and have a false assurance of salvation, and I'll bet you that's probably where most people who have made a decision are at. They made a decision, they believe the lies, just say the magic words, repeat after me, and they repeat it, and they believe that they're saved. Don't believe the lie. The Antichrist is alive and well, and he is ruling the world, just as the scripture said he would, in the form that that the Roman Empire would be ruling the world at the end. Yes, in the 10 toes of clay, the feet and 10 toes of iron mingled with clay. That is the way that the Roman Empire is depicted before Christ returns. And the Antichrist is ruling now. Healed from the deadly wound, learning from past mistakes, no frontal assaults, no burning heretics at the stake and burning Bibles. And now they learn much better and shrewder and more deceptive tactics than that. They own the money. Well, didn't the Bible say that the Antichrist and the government that he's present with would cause everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or their forehead in order to buy and sell in his monetary system? Well, look at the monetary system we have. It's a big clue that the Antichrist does rule the world, and he is already in charge of the money. You can't deny the scripture. The Antichrist is alive and well. He's not going to just appear for don't believe the lie. You can't know who he is. He's going to appear for a fleeting few years just before Christ returns. That's the lie that only the Antichrist would want you to believe. So you don't recognize him. Of course, he doesn't think he's the Antichrist. Does the Antichrist think he's the Antichrist? I don't know. Maybe he knows he is, but I know who knows he is. I know the dragon who gives him his power knows who he is. All of the Protestants, starting with the Reformation, and some before, even proclaimed that the papacy was the seat of the Antichrist before that 500 years ago on October 31st, 1517, when Martin Luther nailed his 95 thesis to the door of the church at Wittenberg. Call that the beginning of the Reformation. Well, there were a few believed before that. Who knew before that? Yeah. Martin Luther was just that, you know, he was like the cannon shot heard around the world when he nailed that, that kicked off an explosive movement in the Reformation, because first he found Christ, and then he soon afterward discovered Antichrist. You can read it in his own words. I think Tom Fress is going through Martin Luther in his own words. So make sure you check out that whole series. Very eye-opening, very interesting to learn about the man, Martin Luther. And see, Martin Luther, what happened to Martin Luther that he encouraged a defection started a reformation? Yes, and then a protest. See, there was a reformation came first. He said, well, this has to be reformed. Well, the Antichrist Church, the great apostasy, was not going to be reformed. Regardless of what Pope Bergoglio or Francis says about it now, what he announced last year, kind of patting Martin Luther on the back, saying, yeah, he did a good thing, and now the protest is over. Yeah, he wants it to be, and basically when you look at the world and the churches around, pretty much, the protest is over, but Well, I'm here to say the protest is not over. There are still a few of us protesting the great apostasy, protesting the Antichrist, who is alive and well, regardless of the lies that he, by his Jesuit army, have taught the world, and probably most of you believe some form of it. You believe in a 7-year tribulation that immediately precedes the return of Christ? Well, then you believe in Jesuit Antichrist eschatology that was tailored just for you. Because the Catholics don't believe it. The Antichrist Church, the great apostate church, doesn't believe it. They think anyone who actually believes in the physical return of Christ for a millennial reign, they call you a millenarian heretic. Yeah, you are a heretic. If you believe that Christ is going to return like the Bible says, and that you are going to be resurrected when he returns, and changed if you're living at that time in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and you're going to come back and rule and reign with him, or stay in that case, you're going to rule and reign with him after the resurrection for 1,000 years, like the scripture says, then you are a millenarian heretic. See, because the authority of the Pope, according to the apostate church, the Antichrist church, is greater than the Word of God. The Word of God is subject to this man, or this line of men that sit in the seat of the papacy, the true Antichrist, who has taught the world this lie. Okay. Any comments, questions, calls? Okay, well, I guess we're going to jump into some news since there's no comments, questions, or nobody wants to call in. Let me check out my news feed up here. Got it up here somewhere. And let's see. God is not a whole lot of prophecy in the news. But we have North Korea in the news, so I guess I'm going to talk a little bit about North Korea. I have a Huffington Post article here. Let me take a look at that. And maybe we could even put it on the screen. Oh, yeah, we can do this. We have the technology. That's right. I don't know if that video is going to start playing or not, but here I'm going to put it on. This one says, Trump evangelical advisor, God is totally cool with nuking North Korea. Huh. Well, that sounds biblical. Is God totally cool with nuking North Korea? I'm not going to play the video. Right-wing pastor who serves on Donald Trump's evangelical advisory board. Well, I would call this the neocon evangelical advisory board. Neocons, they warmongers, in other words. And some people call them Zionists, stuff like that. But it claims God has given the president full power to launch an attack on North Korea. Well, you know, he may have the power and full power to launch stuff and attack North Korea, but does that mean that he should do it or that God is behind him if he does it? I don't think if we're a Christian nation that we're supposed to be spreading the gospel by nuking people, Robert Jeffries, head of First Baptist Dallas Mega Church, told CBN on Tuesday that biblical passage in Romans allows rulers to use whatever means necessary, including war, to stop evil. Well, you know what I would say about that? I would say that be very careful, because I see God wielded Babylon as his sword in judgment against a disobedient Israel, an apostate Israel, once. And then God turned around, and guess what he did? Well, he finally punished Babylon after he was done using them as his sword in judgment. Yeah, so do you really want to go there? And God did require Israel to go in and punish the heathen nations that were in the land that he was giving them. And they did have a direct mandate, and they even had a hard time doing that and doing it properly. And I don't think there's I think we have a right to, say, defend ourselves and even, well, keep our word if we're in a pact with other nations to defend them, say, because I know that America has an agreement with South Korea. So if North Korea attacks South Korea, well, God does hold us to our agreement. So in that case, but I don't know about preemptive war on some silly dictator over there who just seems to be a megalomaniac and wants a lot of attention. I don't know. He reminds me of a baby in a crib, you know, making idle threats. So, but I don't know. I don't know what he knows. Maybe they really do have nukes that could hit America and whatever. But I'm sure that there's a lot of innocent people over there, as many as there are anywhere else in North Korea. So maybe, I'd be very careful about that. And I wouldn't listen to these evangelical, warmongering advisors. Yeah. Seems like a kind of bad advice to me. Okay, let's see what else we have here. Not a whole lot going on. You want to call in? The call-in number is 559-797-8537. Would be nice to hear from you since we're just talking about whatever. Let's see. Next article. That was the Huffington Post. We have a WashingtonPost.com. Let's see what that one says. God has given Trump authority to take out Kim Jong-un, evangelical advisor says. Yeah, who are these advisors, man? How did they get in there? Well, you know, it's hard for me to sit here and judge Trump, but, you know, he's being taken in by what he thinks are really religious people, maybe. I don't know. May God's will be done. I'm sure it will be, because he wrote it about it all in advance. We don't get all the details, but I'm sure in the end it'll all play out exactly as he said. And my opinion doesn't matter. That's all I can say about that. So I guess that's just another article on the same thing from a different perspective. Okay, let's see what else we got. Not a whole lot of news in the prophecy front here. So let's see, Chinese Catholicism turns 60. Well, we're going to go into a break here in a second. You're listening Across the Border. Would like to hear from you. I've got a whole half hour to take your calls, answer questions, comments, anything. Help me fill up the next half hour of this broadcast. A little help from the audience might be nice. And if you don't, well, I'll think of something to say. We'll be back in a few minutes.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. due all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. And we're just going to have a discussion here, whatever you'd like to discuss for the next half hour. In the next hour, we're going to jump into History Unveiling Prophecy, Part 15 for us here. So make sure you stick around for that. We are also celebrating, but I've got to keep announcing, we are celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, and it's time for people to awaken to the great apostasy that has been going on now for centuries. I guess they expect that the way they teach it is they expect it to rise up in some 6-month period before the Antichrist, and then he's going to be revealed when the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way and all the Christians are removed, and who cares if we're not going to be here, right? Yes, yes. Just bow down and worship the Antichrist. You will be here. Believe me. Let's see. James put in the chat room. What did he put in there? Romans chapter 13 talks about submissions to all authority. Whosoever there resists the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and that they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Render therefore. Okay. Well, I think you missed something there. You didn't begin with verse 1, James. You have to start with verse 1. And you have to understand what you're reading. It says, let every soul, you emphasize the word all. Well, I'm emphasizing the word every. Yeah. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. Okay, well, there are higher powers, you know. I live in a household and we have chickens, we have goats, and we have dogs, and we have cats, and we have children, well, at least a teenager now, and we have incompetent. I have an incompetent, my adult retarded son, he's an incompetent. And then we have Michael over here, he lives on the ranch, and then we have me. Well, is there an authority structure here? Even, let's apply God's kingdom authority here on my ranch. Well, I think I'm at the top right up there because I'm the head of this ranch here. And we can go down to the chickens. Well, you could add in the mice and the rabbits and occasional skunk if you want. But there's an authority structure here under God's kingdom. And it says, let every soul be subject. And I think that's the key word, is every soul. That includes the president. That includes the judges. That includes me. That includes my daughter. That includes Michael over here. That includes the police. Every soul. So every soul. So let's begin there. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. So every soul needs to understand where they are in the hierarchy of God's kingdom authority. Because it's His kingdom that really counts. Okay, so what does that mean? How do I apply that to myself? Okay, now if the police come along and they tell me that I have to murder somebody or I have to violate God's law, see, we have clear precedent in the scripture that if there is a power that is over you that tells you to violate God's law, that you're not supposed to listen to that power. You're supposed to go over its head and listen to the next higher power until you get to the one that is obeying God's law. Does that make sense? Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. And we're all accountable. Just like Daniel was accountable. When the law said he couldn't pray, he said, well, I have a higher law that says I can pray. So I'm going to pray no matter what the cost, even if you have to throw, if I have to be thrown into the lion's den. And how about those three Hebrew boys living in Babylon when Nebuchadnezzar commanded them to bow down and worship his image? Yeah. Well, shouldn't they have listened to the higher powers? No. They did listen to the higher powers. They listened to the king, and the king says, violate God's law. And they said, no, because God is the higher power here, king. And we can't follow you if you require us to violate God's law. But the king said, oh, it's all right. God will hold me responsible. I give you permission. I give you license to bow down and worship my image. And those boys says, no, because God's law is higher than yours, king. And that's Romans 13, what it means. Now, it's true that I should listen and obey the authorities that are out there as long as they don't require me to violate God's law. Anybody have a problem with that? And so there are a lot of things I don't do that most people do voluntarily, because as long as something's voluntary, I don't have to do it. But if they tell me I have to do it, then I'm not going to do it if it violates God's law. It's like abortion. Now, no one is required to get an abortion in America. In China, yes. You're required to have an abortion, you know, if you have so many children. And if you don't get an abortion, they will physically take you and abort your child. But if you're a Christian, you should do everything you can to avoid it. That's right. Because you're listening to the higher power. You're being subject to the higher powers. You're going over. If a power defies God's law, then you go over that power to the next higher power. You try to appeal. Whatever you have to do to obey God's law. And that's what it means in Romans 13. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. Now, a lot of people, they want to sin. They want to do evil. They want to rob their neighbor. So the higher power says, here, I'm going to give you a license. And so you just made that higher power your God because you decided, I like this God's laws because I can sin. And that way I don't have to obey God's law, which says I can't sin. That's called licentiousness. And that has everything to do with letting every soul be subject to the higher powers. So when a power requires you or even allows you to do something that violates God's law, you shouldn't do it. Because you need to be subject to the higher powers. And so you got to pay attention to really two words there. Is every soul, that means everyone, from the greatest to the least, every soul. And then it says higher powers. It's not just the singular power that's over you. You know, if a wife's husband tells her to go out, and because he's the higher power in her life, and that he wants to sell her body for money, he wants to prostitute his wife has to say no because it says higher powers. You don't just stop at the power that's directly over you. If it violates God's law, you go over it to the higher powers. So very important to pay attention to what the scripture actually says instead of like mindless automatons or, well, if they say I can marry my, you know, a woman can marry a woman, it must be okay, or I can kill my child before it's born, it's okay, or, you know, or I can participate in socialism because they require it. Well, it doesn't matter whether they require it or not. You're not supposed to do it. You're not supposed to voluntarily participate in anything that violates God's law. Am I getting any argument on those points? The key to Roman Catholic authority is misreadings. Okay. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's, I can't talk to a chat room. It's too hard to read and do a broadcast. Any other questions, comments, or anything? Or do I just need to find something else to talk about? 559-797-8537. Well, I need to find me a bigger audience, one with people that will call in. Either that, or I need to just give up taking calls altogether. Because I feel kind of foolish always asking for calls and no one ever calls in. Well, once in a blue moon, someone calls in. Anyway. Okay. Yes. Did I I guess I did do that. I guess I sent out the post. Yeah, well, I just wonder, no, all these people that I sent out this post to, none of them show up. Because all I have in the chat room are the loyal, the few. Uh-huh. Europe is running out of butter? Major crisis. Hey! Is this a sympathy call? Your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air with Nicholas.
Hey, Nicholas, it's Voyager from the chat room. I've talked to you before.
How you doing, Voyager?
Okay, I thought I'd have mercy on you and pity on you because nobody's calling in.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Oh, I want to, tonight, I roll around in my mind times and, especially lately, a book I'm reading or a subject I'm delving into, it's called The Holy Serpent of the Jews by Tex Marge. You might be familiar with Tex Marge. I don't know if you're familiar with one of his latest books.
I've heard of him. He's what you would call, is he a Jew basher?
I suppose you could call him that, but that's not the term I would.
Oh, okay. Well, that's, I don't know. I really haven't listened to that much, but I know there's some guys out there, and I know there was one. There's another guy, Jim Mars. I get all these Mars mixed up.
Yeah. Jim Mars passed away, I think, last week. But I wouldn't, let me put it this way. I wouldn't use the term Jew basher.
Okay.
More than I would refer to you, my friend, as a Catholic basher.
Ah, okay.
Even though, you know what I mean? That's sort of my attitude towards it. I'm a seeker of the truth, and I'm, you know, that things are somewhat complex. And that's going to be the point of my call in a second.
Okay.
You know, I'm someone who's listened to Tom Press for a long time, and I can't think of the gentleman's name right now who used to have on here that wrote Vatican Assassins, a book I never read, but I used to listen to his show. You know, I've listened to many of your dialogues with Tom Press, and also many of the things that you, even in this first hour, have put forward regarding the Vatican and the Antichrist and the dynastic Antichrist, things like this, which I've for a number of years now held that to be truth. However, and I'm not going to challenge it as not being the truth, but where I'm going with this is I'm trying to put a framework or the hierarchy of things between the what would be the Freemasons, the Jesuits, and the there's different classification of the Jews who are sort of a lot of evils ascribed to, whether you want to call them Zionist Jews or the Tsar Jews or whatever, but
right.
the ones who are responsible for many evil things, but as a group. And the fascinating thing in this book is that, and I respect Tex Marz. I'm only about halfway through the book, but he explores and studies the Kabbalah and has many references, which...
Yeah, that's some pretty wicked stuff, man, some of the Jewish writings, yeah. I have to admit.
Yeah.
It's just, there's a fallacy that the Jews rule the world and they're in charge of the New World Order. That's the only thing that really, that's for people that are actually, letting the Antichrist off the hook by saying that. I think, what's his name? Eric John Phelps calls them the Pope's court Jews.
Pope court Jews. Okay, well, I was curious as what your take is on it. I would strongly recommend that book, and, it's very interesting. I'm not as versed with it to sort of work some of the concepts he's talking about what the Talmudic Jews believe about themselves and Israel in general, which does sort of maybe changes the idea of who the Antichrist is, which I find very challenging because I've been firmly positioned in that it's the papal dynasty.
Yeah.
That's who all the reformers pointed to and everything. But
What was the name of the book?
It's called The Holy Serpent of the Jews.
The Holy Serpent of the Jews. Okay.
Yeah, and it's probably not available in the public library, but it's on Scribd, which is a PDF book service. Might even be able to find a copy out there somehow just by Googling it, but of course, I'm sure it's available on your traditional internet sites that you might be able to buy a book. But I highly recommend it because it is more than thought provoking. It's challenging and I also Tex Mars is I don't know the man personally, but he's supposedly a Christian, and I would have to say anyone who does take on such
does he identify the Antichrist?
Not through the book yet, but it is pointing toward, and that's one thing that that troubles me is that no, it doesn't do that, but for example, an idea he puts forward that's news to me is how Israel sees itself as its own Messiah, that they're not looking for one person coming, and it that does speak to the Antichrist, and I'm not a rapture believer and that kind of thing either. I mean, I know your book and all this stuff, but I'm getting a little inarticulate here because these are sort of new ideas to me and I haven't fully assimilated them and put them in a framework yet, but it does conceptualize Israel and who these Talmudic Jews believe they are, who are in immense positions of power and wealth, immense. So there has to be a relationship between them and the Jesuits and the Freemason network, which I don't fully understand. And by the way, I've sort of discounted Eric John Feltz. I'm not going to be buying his book, I don't think, unless it's some object of study for me. There's been a number of reasons I just I've kind of dismissed him.
Yeah, he's worth dismissing these days. Embracing the flat earth and futurism. Those are two.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you say that because I sometimes I just get a taste in my mouth that I just can't get out about somebody and I just have to move on.
Well, and honestly, I've had some personal dealings with Eric John Feltz where he was not quite honest or a man who keeps his word, and that's about all I can say about that. But that's real life experience.
Yeah, well, I remember some of that going on, as you've alluded to a little bit before, about as much as you just have now, not much more. But
I just have to warn people, that it would have anything or give him any money or anything like that to beware.
Exactly.
That's all I can say.
It means a lot to me that he might hurt you in the past, and that's worthy of note to me. Somebody might take advantage of you or be dishonest towards you.
But anybody's redeemable. Anybody can change. Anyone could repent. But he's never repented to me. But hey.
Right. Yeah. Well. Anyway. I've been talking a bit there. I just wanted to call in with that. Unless you wanted to continue talking, have any other comments? I don't want to jump subjects on you either.
No. I'm not. I'm on no subject this hour. I've just. The overall feel of the book when you're done with it, you might want to report on that. Does it vindicate the Antichrist or does it point to him? And, because I think the Antichrist allows and even holds up things that will vindicate it in any way, even indirectly. Understand what I'm saying? Because the Antichrist has the money power. And if the Antichrist doesn't like something, the money doesn't go there. I mean, the Antichrist loved Get Left Behind. Loved it. But anything Protestant, anything that identifies the Antichrist, the apostate church and the papacy as the Antichrist, well, you see, it's almost non-existent in the world, in any mainstream media. It's not mainstream anywhere. Because there's no money for it.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, it does come down to, it's great to learn all these things, but, what do we do about it? I don't really know what to do about it other than to just keep on trucking.
That's right. That's what we do. We just keep on serving God and living our lives to please Him. That's all we can do at the end, in the end. And allow Him to do His work in us. Because that's really the point of the whole thing, is what He's doing in us. Because we can't do anything for him unless he allows it, unless, you know, and that's a privilege as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Well, Nicholas, I really appreciate you, brother, and please say a prayer for me, and I appreciate it because I definitely need to allow more of that work to be done in me, for sure. But
yes, don't we all?
Glad you take calls. I hope you don't stop doing that, and I'll try to. My days blur together sometimes, so I'm lucky if I remember it's Wednesday. So that's when I decide to tune in, and I hope you're still doing a live show on Wednesday. So
where are you located at?
I'm in Elkhart, Indiana.
Oh, okay, Indiana. All right. What's your first name?
Benjamin.
Benjamin. All right, Benjamin. Thank you for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Nicholas.
Yes, God bless Benjamin for calling in, and may all his prayers be answered. That's and all of our listeners, may we all walk worthily in his kingdom day by day, crucifying the deeds of the flesh. That is the work that he is doing in us. That is the gospel work, and that is the most important work that needs to be done in each of us individually. We can't save the world because, well, Jesus already did it all. He said, it is finished. So we can only allow what he has finished to be accomplished in us and realize there's really nothing we can do in our own effort and give all the glory to God. Okay, well, what else do we got? A few minutes left. Well, I guess we do a little housekeeping for the last few minutes. Next hour, we're going to jump back into part 15. Yeah, 15, I think, of History Unveiling Prophecy. So you want to stick around for that. Don't want to miss any of that. We need your help here. Go to crosstheborder.org, and you'll see in the left-hand column there's a support Cross the Border button there. So why don't you press that button and think about, ask the Almighty about giving a portion of your tithe to support this ministry. If you're supporting Rick Wiles, or you're supporting John Hagee, or you're supporting, whatever out there, you know, you might want to rethink some of these corporations where these guys are pulling down $100,000 salaries or even $1 million salaries in some of these ministries, and because we don't even get to pull out salaries here because we don't have enough money for salaries yet. I guess I should write up a budget, give myself $5,000 a month, give him $2,000 a month salary, and already we've missed our budget by $7,000. We're under budget, people. Send money. Isn't that what they do? Yeah, well, anyway, I just ask you to pray about it and see if you can send a portion of your tithe or all of it here, depending on what the Almighty would have you do. That's all I can ask. Okay, go to my website, crossborder.org. Take advantage of the free ebook offer there. If you haven't read my book, When the Third Temple is Built, you need to read it, and you need to give it to someone else to read. We're trying to kind of infect the evangelical world out there with a little Protestant thought, a little Reformed Protestant historical eschatology, and see if we can get some people to wake up out there. The elect, it's time for the elect to come out of the counter-reformation slumber and open their eyes and realize the Antichrist is in plain sight. Has been for hundreds of years. He's gone nowhere. The man of sin, the false prophet, the Antichrist church, the great apostasy, it's alive and well, and it will continue till nearly the end when the ten-horned beast turns on it and annihilates it shortly before the return of Christ. Because that same Antichrist, I mean, that same power that's going to destroy the mystery Babylon whore, is going to turn against Christ for that great day, that great battle of the Almighty when Jesus returns and he sets up his kingdom for 1,000 years. That's a day we all look forward to. May the Almighty bless each and every one of you as you continue in His kingdom till the day arrives. We'll be back in a few minutes.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Visit CrossTheBorder.org, C-R-O-S-S, CrossTheBorder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's CrossTheBorder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit CrossTheBorder.org, C-R-O-S-S, CrossTheBorder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's CrossTheBorder.org.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.